Hello, and welcome to another very late episode of the Shipping and Handling Book Club.
Hurrah!
I'm your host, Jennifer Edden.
I'm your co-host, Bridget Smith.
So today we are discussing the, I don't know if it's the most bonkers one we've read in this series, but we are discussing Ethan of Athos, or, as Joe Walton called it, The Hunt for Ovaries in Space.
Yeah.
And in case you think we're kidding.
Nope.
We are 100%
literally
not.
The plot.
So to give an attempt at a brief summary of the plot, obviously there will be, like, spoilers ahoy in this episode.
As usual.
Ethan of Athos is a space obstetrician. Well, he's an Athosian obstetrician. And the planet of Athos has no women. It's only men. It's, like, a weird religious colony.
Yeah.
And you have to, like, build up all this credit to be able to have a kid.
Because they have to, like, manufacture children. You can't just have one by accident.
Yeah, and you can't, and so they don't want some just, like, rando having a kid. So there's actually, like, this really heartbreaking scene at the beginning where this guy who'd, like, farmed all his life and, like, really wanted a kid, like, there was something wrong with the ovary, so he's gonna have to wait. And then the shipment of ovaries that they were supposed to get... Like, ovarian cultures.
The problem is they're supposed to get a shipment of ovarian cultures, and instead they get a shipment of ovaries.
Yeah, and, like, cow heads and, like...
Cow ovaries,
yeah, it's gross.
He's like, this one's not even human.
So Ethan leaves Athos and goes to...
Space.
To find them, and sort of gets wrapped up in all these sort of machinations.
Yeah, it's actually, like... In some ways, a fairly straightforward mystery.
And, like, fish out of water story, because, like, the minute he, like, meets a person with boobs, he just, like, literally faints. Or, like...
he's just been...
like, oh my god, you're a woman!
And she's like, oh, dear sweet boy. Poor baby.
So you're, like, 30 pages from the end.
Yes.
What do you think of it so far?
It is significantly less bonkers than I thought it was going to be. I don't know why I, like, continue to be surprised when I like these books, because a lot of them sound like they have completely ridiculous plots.
I mean, they do. I want to be very clear that they do.
But, like, it doesn't read like a ridiculous thing. Like, you get invested in the characters. The story feels, like, fairly logical and straightforward in the way it unfolds, and you're like... eager to find out what happens, and you're not just reading it and, like, going, this is ridiculous. Even though, like, the cover copy, I was like, what is going
on? Well, in the cover, I mean, you would not, you know, I guess we'll try and put a picture in, but you can't really tell, but, like, in my version, he is standing under what looks like a space sort of, like, razor, and he's wearing, like, a spacesuit that has these really amazing shoulder pads. And, like, he looks, like, a thousand
this
times
is an 80s
more, like,
cover.
Confident and together than the character described
this
in this
is,
book.
Like, space hero saves his planet kind of cover, not space obstetrician.
As opposed to, like, area man faints inside of boobs. Yes. Oh, my God.
So I have enjoyed it. And it's also, like, Ellie Quinn in Heart Hands.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh my god, you're great.
And I was reading Joe Walton's, you know, article about it for Tor.com, and she was like, Ellie Quinn, who, you know, showed up in Warriors Apprentice. I was like, god damn it. I knew I was going to miss something important
I didn't finish Warriors
Apprentice.
I do remember that she existed, but I don't remember
what was going on with her.
I meant to look it up before we came to record.
So there was something that happened at the very end that I'm going to spoil for you because you're not done.
That's my own fault.
So at the end, it transpires that... So basically, the shipment of ovaries that... ovarian culture, sorry, that Ethan was looking for, he thinks has been destroyed because there's a woman on the Klein station, is that what it's called, who like really hates Athos because her son like fled.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever.
Sure.
So he's...
Yes, he got so tired of his mother hectoring him that he... About the women he dated, he fled to a land where there are no women?
Well, I think that the implication was that he was gay and that, like... Anyway. So he thinks that all the cultures are gone. You later discovered that that is not the case.
Okay.
You find the ones that Taryn C.
Okay.
Hid. She didn't throw them out. She just, like, threw them out, which is, like, the cold storage. Out is the cold storage. But there's this...
threw them out the window.
But there's this really sweet moment where Ethan goes to visit Eli, or Ellie, in jail. Mm. And he's like, you know, I'd like to ask you for something, you know, since we've been through all this stuff. And she's like, I don't think that you could shop me with anything. Like, you know, and you're thinking like, oh, he's going to ask for like the touch of a human woman. He asks her for an ovary so that he can like, that his kids can be like her kids.
Oh.
I was just like, oh my God, you weird, sweet goober. He's like, I literally like cried a little bit.
Feelings.
Like, you know, I think, you know, Athos could do with more of this. Unless of like what we've got going on. So
probably accurate.
Yeah. So but then the big sort of reveal is that Terrence?
Yeah.
Terrence, who is this guy that they kind of encounter along the way.
Who's telepathic.
Is telepathic and has been genetically engineered to be telepathic. And there's that really sweet moment where he's like, people want to use me. And he's like, yeah, I can think of a billion things. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God, you'd be so great for like nonverbal patients and like people with people who've had strokes. Like, you would be great. And he's like sitting down, like completely shocked that anyone would have any use for
you
him.
You think
other
I can
than, like,
be helpful?
And not in like a...
save people?
And not in like a torture way? This is great. But it turns out that he has sort of like hidden his like replicator wife's ovarian cultures in that... shipment that was supposed to go to Athos, and basically eventually Athos is going to be like 100% telepathic, I think was the implication that like,
okay,
so they found, so right after you stop where you stopped, he goes to visit Millisaur in prison, and Millisaur is like, you don't understand, like eventually, like the point of the plan was, it wasn't just to like get them off to Athos. The point was is that like eventually everyone's gonna be like him, everyone's gonna be telepathic. But eventually Ethan's like, that's fine. That's all right. That'll be interesting. I'll be dead and I won't have to worry about it. So somewhere out there is an entirely gay or actually not entirely gay but mostly gay,
yeah,
mostly like telepathic. All dude telepathic planet. Just out there in the universe of this world.
Yeah, it was interesting. I sort of expected it to go a different way. The gayness of these people. I sort of assumed that when Ethan arrived at a place where there were women, he would find himself attracted to them.
Because that's how the plots always go.
Exactly.
They're like, it was only situational homosexuality. Yes. It's fine.
And it's like, nope. He's just still not interested in women. Yeah. And I was like, I like that.
He has a very cute moment with Terrence at the end where he's like, I mean, maybe.
Yeah. I got that vibe. Yeah. I was like, oh, you have a crush on this guy. And also your partner back on Athos is
a tool. Is a tool.
A tool.
But yeah, I mean, it was nice that it wasn't sort of like, you know, sort of queer baiting, like,
yeah,
like, no, he saw boobs and then he just changed his mind. It really was just a phase.
He could have been bisexual.
I think he probably was, but
yeah,
but I thought that was very sweet.
Yeah,
I don't know, it's very interesting. Like, I feel like I ultimately, like, I thought that it was going to go a different way too, but what I thought was going to happen was I thought that he was going to get disillusioned with like the sort of rigid strictures of, yeah, like, life and religion on Athos. But it turns out that he actually does, you know, really value those and find meaning in them.
He's not just brainwashed.
But he also, like, knows that those things can be improved. And so his sort of, like, act of sort of genetic sabotage, if you will, at the end, where he's sort of like, I'm just not going to tell anybody that they're going to be telepathic. Which is, I'm pretty sure what happened. I might have, you know, I was reading pretty quickly because I wanted to finish before then, but
That'll be interesting when the first telepathic babies get drunk for the first time and then start reading people's minds.
Well, and that's the thing too, is that like earlier in the book there's this moment where, because like his telepathy is really triggered by this one like chemical, and they're like, well, we can't get it from the pharmacy, because they're watching the pharmacy, it's like, let's, like, these are all the foods that have this, and it's like claret, burgundy, champagne, pate,
fancy cheese So someone, some, like, child is going to be at some, like, fancy wine and cheese party and get accidentally drunk and eat too much cheese and start reading the thoughts of everyone there, and it's going to be deeply terrifying for that child.
Yeah. But it's actually going to be happening to, like, all of his compatriots at once.
It's true. Or so, like, we can, like, talk to them about it.
I'm trying to remember the math, but it was, like, half at once. Like, half will get it in one generation, and then the rest will get it in the next. I didn't do well in biology, so this was not my area of expertise. But yeah, it was kind of nice that at the end he sort of, like, recognized that there were sort of, like, things that could change about his society, but that he didn't want to abandon it entirely.
Yeah.
Because I always sort of, I don't love those where it's, like...
Yeah, it's, oh, this
is... Your entire way of life is stupid.
Yeah.
You've been to space once, and now you think it's better.
Yeah. I am curious about, obviously, since I didn't get to the end, do they address at all the, like, misogyny in his culture? Like,
no.
As they're not going to
deal
with that at all?
Sort of. I mean, he does.
He clearly changes his
mind. He does. He has come to value and respect Ellie, and he's, at the end of the book, he's thinking a lot about, like, what you get from, you know, your mother.
Mm.
And he's thinking about, like, that first geneticist who sort of gave them the ovarian cultures for their society.
Yeah.
And he's like, looking at this as, like, okay, this is a way to sort of, like, introduce some of that back into society. But there's not really any question of, like...
Maybe women are also useful.
Yeah. And I don't really know. I mean... Within the structures of, like, the book and, like, the world, I don't know how much...
It's hard, because it's so much of it takes place with him outside of Athos. It's not like they could change the entire planet.
Yeah. And we don't meet any other Athosians except for that one guy and, like, the council or whatever. Well, one thing that I thought was interesting is in Jo Walton's article for Tor.com, this is the third book that was written.
Oh.
So chronologically.
Weird. So it was Shards of the Honor.
She calls it the third book. She,
okay, it was Shards of Honor, Shards of Warrior's Honor. Apprentice, and then
this. Yeah. So.
Weird.
She called it, like, you know, having three different starts to a book.
Yeah.
Three different starts to a series. One with Cordelia, one with Miles, and one with this. I don't know. And, like, I guess, you know, trying to figure out what works. But, you know, this really does feel like a weird outlier in the same way that Falling Free does.
Yeah.
Of the other books that we've read.
I think partly because it doesn't have any four Kosigans in it.
Yeah.
Like, they apart name as, like, Admiral Naismith.
Admiral Naismith.
But it's like, it's a Vorkosigan saga book that has no Vorkosigans in it.
Yeah.
So it feels easily removable.
Yeah. The more I read of these, of this world, though, the more I'm, like, sort of convinced that her overarching thesis is that eugenics is bad.
Yeah.
Genetic manipulation is bad. Because, like, you can see how all these things are, like, you know, well-intentioned to begin with.
Yeah.
Begin to be, like, corrupted and used for, like... heinous or the society becomes, like, warped and,
yeah,
you know, like, Cetaganda and, you know,
and Barriar.
Barriar. The wind they call Barriar. yeah
so many of these planets have, like, their own weird eugenics thing.
Well, and you know, but the other sort of, like, weird sort of fucked up flip side of that is that, like, okay, a society like Athos that's, like, you know, we suspect women, we think women, like, you know, lead men to sin, like, blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
What would they have done to perpetuate themselves had they not had uterine replicators?
Yeah, they couldn't have.
It would have been, like, welcome to Rape Town.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
It is also interesting the many ways in which...
Keep going. Brief pause while we fuck the computer.
It is interesting the many ways in which she uses the uterine replicators. It's, and, like, between Miles, between what Athos does for all of their children, the way Terrence feels about it, mm-hmm. like, people keep telling him he's not a real human because he was born from a uterine replicator and, like, random genetic material, and Ethan's like, well, that's how we have all of our children, so, I mean, you seem perfectly reasonable to me.
Yeah, and, like, I forget what Beta's stance on it is.
They developed it.
They developed it, but like, how do you remember how like widely used it is? Because I can't remember if Cordelia was like pregnant and like carrying Miles like because she wanted to, because it was like a Baton thing, or because it was like a Briarin thing. Because I know that there was only like 4 uterine replicators on Barrier.
My impression was that it was sort of like using a surrogate or using IVF.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know if that's accurate. That is just what I would have assumed.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where, like, you know, here's this thing that, you know, it was addressed, you know, was presumably developed to address sort of something that we've been dealing with since the beginning of time, which is, like, how do you...
Childbirth is awful.
Childbirth is awful. You know, but I know people who are struggling with infertility, and if they had access to this technology, or this, if this technology existed and they had access to it, you know, it would be, like, a real sort of blessing for them.
For
many people, and I think that it's really interesting to see it sort of... We haven't had sort of, like, apart from Miles, who was, like, you know... making the best out of a bad situation. We haven't seen it used in just sort of like a normal way. Like we haven't seen like how sort of people like on average in the galaxy use this technology.
Yeah. Cause it also seems like it can be difficult to get a hold of.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it's, you know, available for
it's the Tesla
anyone.
Of fertility. Yeah. it's not impossible, but it's just expensive.
Cause my also like, I think the way that Barriar got their uterine replicators was because they were sent back with the children of women who were raped by Barriaran soldiers.
Right.
So it's not like they had any to begin with.
Right.
So it's...
Oof, God, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Cheerful.
Yes.
Cheerful. I also thought it was really interesting that the only other female character we have in this is like horrible Helga, who like fat shames that one lady, and then like is like mad at
her. Is like grossed out by basically all humans that aren't herself.
Yeah,
it seems like.
Yeah,
yeah, and there are, I really enjoyed the like. One security officer who was flirting with Ethan, he was like, why is she smiling so much? Is this what you're supposed to do? This is weird.
And then she's like, 2400. Yeah. I'll meet you back here. And he was like, what? All I want to do is get protected from something.
So it was interesting because there are enough sort of women scattered throughout the story that like you can see how it's different for how much... How very different this setting is for Ethan than Athos was. And he's just like, what do you mean they're just everywhere? They're just casually, like, part of the world. But, yeah, we don't really get that many female characters.
I'm just looking up to see like, what's next. Mm. Yeah, I kind of want to see, like, what the rest of Athos is like.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's just very fascinating to me.
Yeah. It was,
Because another thing I liked is that, you know, it was, you know, an entirely male community that valued, like, raising children, like, actually raising them and, like, being a good parent.
Yeah. And, like, you had to earn the right.
You had to earn the right, and then you had to,
and then you were honored for it.
And so it sort of wasn't, like, you know, the sort of traditional sort of, like, women's work.
Yeah.
You know, construction of things. It was just, like, no, it's, like, incredibly vital work.
Yeah.
That, you know, you have to be, like, chosen to do. And I was just like, and then, but women, though.
Yeah.
It's like, is something electronically farting on the other end of that room?
It's my phone.
Fine.
My electronic fart machine. Yeah, it was also interesting to me to see how this, like, the things they took for granted in the community. Because generally, communities that are, like, women are sinful and therefore you shouldn't interact with them are also not super in favor of homosexuality.
Yeah.
And so this, but on this planet, it was sort of taken for granted that, like, of course you will have a partner and, like, you still have couples and households based on that. And so that
actually,
was interesting.
What does he say at the end?
I suppose it's slightly more like ancient Greece.
So he's talking to Terrence. It's like at the very end. He's like, They said, wait a minute, though. I got the impression the mutual DA business designated alternate, I guess, yeah, something like that, outside the communal brotherhoods was sort of like married couples. Is sex entailed in all this? Because he's just asked him to be like his, like, baby daddy kind of thing. Well, said Ethan, not necessarily. DA arrangements can be and are entered into by brothers, cousins, fathers, grandfathers, anyone qualified and willing to act as a parent. Parenthood shared between lovers is just the most common variety, but here you are on Athos after all for the rest of your life. I thought perhaps in time you might grow accustomed to our ways. Not to rush you or anything, but if you find yourself getting used to the idea, you might let me know. Ethan.
Oh, that's so cute.
It's so cute.
Oh, Ethan, dear sweet goober.
I know! He's, like, carrying, like, for the last, like, 30 pages, he's, like, carrying around this little box of, like, uterine material from LA, just, like, EQ1.
Aww.
It's her designation. It's, like,
nice.
Yeah. Ugh, it's really good. I actually really like this one. I also like that it was only 250 pages.
Yes. It's 191 in the ebook version.
Oh, fancy. Well, 237, I think. Mm-mm. But let's look at the description of the next one, shall we? The next one, according to the chronological list, is Brothers in Arms, which was published in 1989. Brothers in Arms. Lois McMaster Bujold. The fifth book published in the series is the 12th story, including novellas in the internal chronology. Plot summary. That is very long. Just give me the description, please.
What's the back cover?
Yes, give me the cover copy. I don't need this. Okay, Amazon, fine.
Curse it, but it's sometimes the most useful.
Damn you.
Like, its search function is by far the best.
It's sad how many people in publishing, myself included, turn to Amazon for, like, okay, when was that published?
It's fine, I don't give them money. But, like, Goodreads, it's impossible to find anything.
Okay. Description. If his enemies would just leave him alone, Miles Vorkosigan, alias Admiral Naismith, decided bitterly, the Dendari Free Mercenary Fleet would collapse all on its own, but his enemies were plotting a more deadly fall. For some unexplained reason, the Dendari payroll is missing, and the orders from the Beriaran Imperial Command are being delayed by Miles' superior, Captain Galeni. What connects the impeccable, insufferable Captain Galeni and the Kamaran rebel expatriates on Earth anyway? Earth!
Ooh!
But the most deadly question of all before Miles is more personal. Are Miles' two identities, Admiral Naismith of the Dendari and Lieutenant Lord Vorkosigan of Beriar, splitting apart along the lines of his divided loyalties? And who is trying to assassinate which version of him?
Ooh.
When Miles unravels the answers, then the complications really begin. Yes. Okay. Brothers in Arms.
Yes.
I don't know when we're going to get a chance to record that, but the next book will eventually be Brothers in Arms.
Yes. Also, we should look into getting a copy of something to give away.
Yes. There may be a giveaway involved in the next episode. We're going to
look into these some things, and we might have a giveaway coming up.
Have a giveaway. And,
stay tuned. Listen to the next episode in which we will announce the details.
Thank you for the tens of people who tune into this.
Yeah.
The many fewer that listen to this than the actual podcast. Uh-huh. As always, please send any comments about the Shipping and Handling Book Club to us with the hashtag SHBookClub on Twitter and Tumblr. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yes. Bye.